welcome to another episode of Natural Thoughts and Talks. I'm your host, Venture, and we have a great episode for you guys today. Go ahead and tell the listener your name and where you're coming from.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jackie. I am from Las Vegas.
Nice. How's your day been going so far?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Excited. It's Friday, so ready for the weekend.
Yeah. Busy or what?
Yeah, very busy and hot over here. It's very, very hot in Las Vegas.
Yeah, definitely. It's that time of the year and I'm staying inside, trying not to melt, right? So obviously I found you through your, beauty page and your health stuff and the brand that you're building. And I just would love to hear more. It's one of those things where we're trying to get more and more voices like yours on, because it's just, I don't know, up until like 6 months ago, I just didn't know how huge the industry was, how many moving parts, how many careers and brands and businesses there are behind it. And it's just awesome to hear your voice and kind of just shed a little bit of light to what you do and what you've been growing.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So, like I said, my name is Jackie. I'm currently a nurse injector, so I'm actually a nurse and I do Botox, fillers. I'm also certified in doing lasers. I've, dabbled in skincare. So definitely the aesthetic industry is where my nursing kind of license goes into.
That's awesome. Where are you from? Are you from Vegas?
So I was actually born in Hollywood, but I say I'm from Vegas because I've been here since I was a year old. So I'm gonna say I'm a Vegas kid because I've never left.
Yeah, definitely. So it's awesome that you've gotten to see this place grow into what it is today, right?
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's more and more every single second, it feels like. So honestly, what I want to hear a little bit about is just kind of what can a client expect from you if they walk in, just completely blind day one? What kind of experience can they expect to get?
So with me, I always like see myself as a nurse first. Like I don't really see myself like selling, I come in from like a factor of like, hey, you came to see me. That's already the first step. And then afterwards, it's just like you actually trusting me and kind of seeing like what I see that maybe either you didn't see previously, or if there's something that is concerning that I can kind of address and how we can go ahead and correct that. But I feel like when I go to some other place, I always like to feel like I'm not being like sold to. Like I'm just here to inform you, and if you want to go ahead and take that information as you will, then we can go ahead and proceed. But I feel like with me, you definitely receive more of like, hey, like this is what I see and this is what you should do, kind of like planning and kind of go from there. I feel like I come from a genuine place where at the end of the day, like it's kind of your choice. Like I get paid hourly. I don't get commission off that, and if it takes you a month or two or even 6 months to come back to me just because you have to think about it, that's more than fine. I don't know. I just feel like a lot of times in the aesthetic industry, a lot of injectors push like too many products at once and overwhelming. And it's like, I don't want to overwhelm you. Like, let's take it a step at a time. It's going to be more of like a journey and a marathon rather than a race, like, let's just take our time with it.
I really can feel that already from what you've already said, just because, like I said, we're kind of in a space and a time period now where you don't have to just go to the person that's down the street because they're the only person, and it's like people want to be in partnerships and just kind of in relationships with people who understand them, right? And kind of have their best interests at heart. And I just think it's so awesome that you're leading with that, because I'm sure it makes everybody feel so much better just being transparent, right? So that's awesome to hear. What about your family growing up? Do you have any siblings?
So yeah, I actually do have two brothers, but my mom lives in California right now due to her circumstances. So it's just me out here with my husband and my son and my dog. So it's just us. But like I said, I would never, I left to California for a little bit of time, for like a little bit of like my prereqs for like a nursing school. But I was like, no, Vegas is where it's at. So I've always, I'm still here.
Yeah.
I left and seriously just came back, but it's, I, I just can't leave here.
Yeah, and it's one of those things of like we're very big on support with this show and just like different ways that people have had it throughout their life, throughout your career. What did your parents do growing up?
So my mom was a single mom, just working like, like
Gotcha.
the repo song, like working hard, five jobs, whatever the song goes. But yeah, so I helped her out a lot. I'm the oldest of my siblings, so I definitely was like a second parent to like my brothers.
So you have like older sibling energy then, huh?
Yeah, definitely older sibling, Hispanic girl, because it's two brothers and one girl, so it's like a lot of that too. So yeah, so it's a lot of that, where I was hesitant on starting my own family because I felt like that was already like a part of like they were like my kids in the sense, but yeah, it was a lot of work. But my mom always told me like, hey, like although I couldn't give you money and like property and all this stuff, like what I could do is I want you to keep going for your education. So I've always had that in my mind where it's like, okay, like money wasn't handed, so I have to figure out my own way with education. Hence why I became a nurse, because I was like, oh, maybe this, like at first I was a little confused. I was like, let me just become a nurse and see what happens from this point on. And I don't know, I the best thing I've ever done was become a nurse. Like I love it so much.
That's awesome. So, how far when, like, were you planning on getting into this industry when you were even going through nursing school? Was that in your back of your mind?
Yeah, it was always back in my mind, but it was more like I was like, well, I could do it as a side hustle because I didn't know too much about it. I was like, well, I don't even know how to get in the industry. I was like, backup plan is like always like I could always go to the hospital. But in the back of my mind, I was like, I would love to be like a like top injector and do this and do all that. And then I was like, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, but at least I can try, But I mean, I didn't tell people in nursing school I wanted to do that just because aesthetics does kind of get a bad rap where it's like, oh, it's just all shallow and stuff like that. Which I mean, yes, it's a superficial job if you look at it, right? But it's really not. Like I think like once you actually look deep into it, it helps a lot of people with like mental health, like if people like are always thinking about like how their lip is uneven or they don't have lips and if I only had lips and I can conquer the world or something, and it's like honestly, yeah. So I look at it more on a deeper level where it's like if something is bothering you, we can fix it, and you can go ahead and move on with your life and start thinking about other things that concern you. But I always look at it that way. Like I said, I was a little not ashamed, but more like I kept it to myself because people will look at you differently.
Yeah, I definitely understand that stigma too, and it's like crazy because if it's not the only time it's bad in a stigma is when it becomes overkill, right? And that's like such a small, like you have such a small amount of people or like situations taking over the majority of the actual kind of reputation. And that's kind of weird. I think that's why just having more of your story and kind of what you do out there can help that, right? I want to know, do you ever like being in the industry that you're in, do you ever notice things or are you ever like hyper kind of sensitive or aware to seeing just, are you at the airport and you ever look at people and you're like, oh yeah, her lips are trash. Or like, oh my gosh, that those cheekbones are just not on the mark. I don't know what's going on.
No, I turn my mind off just because I can't be analyzing doing free consultations all the time. Okay. I can't be analyzing all the time because then I don't know, like some people like having smaller lips, or some people don't want to, fill in their double like little butt chin. And sometimes the butt chins are cute. Like I just I that's what happens like during a consultation. I always ask like what is your concern? Because like what might be concerning me and that might not be concerning you, But especially when I'm out in public, I definitely don't think that way. There's sometimes if I know somebody personally and they know what I do. And if they ask me for a consultation on the spot, then I'll bring it up. But I wouldn't go out of my way to be like, hey, you need some cheek filler or you need more chin, Like I would never do that to somebody because I feel like that's so mean. And like, what if that wasn't even in their head? And now they're like, oh crap, Like
You're
now
missing
I have
out.
a recessed chin.
Hey, you're missing out on clients right there. You could be
I
late
mean,
to a
I don't.
flight.
I mean, here's the thing, like, but then what if they're happy with it? Then I feel terrible. Like, I hate that girl. Like, she told me, like, I looked wrong. So,
Or you're like coming in early to the consultation and you just walk in and you're already confident on what it is. Like, oh yeah, we can get that forehead taken care of. And she's like, what? What do you mean? Yeah,
Exactly. Yeah,
it's touchy.
exactly.
It's touchy. I couldn't imagine being in your position.
It's people's looks, right? I mean, you're trusting me to mess with their face in a way, and then you're trusting me and seeing what I'm seeing, and then I'm kind of gradually kind of telling you this is wrong, but this is how we can fix it. And I feel like people hyper focus on like the negative, but that's the thing, like we could always fix it, you know.
Yeah.
We could always fix it. But yeah, like I mean, before I even started in the industry, like yes, I would analyze my face. I'm like, oh, I need this. I would look better if I had this. But then now that I'm super in the industry, I will say it kind of does make you myself like hyper focus on like, okay, like if I could just get this fixed, if I had this product, you know, I saw results on this one. It's like now it's like within the industry itself and people I talk to within the industry itself, we already have like not body dysmorphia, but we're very nitpicky. Now we're even more perfectionists, you know? So that's another thing too that comes with the territory that I feel like a lot of people don't know about that. The people I work with sometimes like you see this little spot, I'm like where? Like sometimes I just like and usually I'm good at saying like yeah, you know, like I see that little spot, but sometimes I'm like you're actually perfect, like, and I'm more than willing to say that to a patient when they're like very hyper focused on something and it doesn't and they're being very hard on themselves. I'm like, hey, you know what, like I see what you're saying, but I wouldn't necessarily make that as a concern right now, but there's other things that we could talk about. Just because sometimes I think people focus on too much and it gets overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah, I think you had a really good statement too when you said like, oh, if only I had bigger lips, I could take over the world, right? It's just like, okay, sure. That just sometimes people, I know that's extreme, right? But that is kind of the mindset of like, this is the thing that's holding me back, or people are judging me so hard on this when at the end of the day, it's like, wait, are you walking around looking at like people's eyebrows? Like, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? No, you're kind of just minding your business and doing it. So just because you're in a crowded area, nobody's really thinking about you like that unless it's something that's like medically crazy, you know? And it's just like, I don't think that that should be such a big deal, but for some people it is, right? And it is awesome that if it is a big deal, definitely get what you need to feel confident. But sometimes it can just be like, what spot? What are you talking about? You put that spot there, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. And then that's the thing too. There's times where I've turned patients away where they're like, hey, I need more. And I'm like, no. And the thing is that I see it as like a health risk. I say no. If I see that somebody does have, you know, body dysmorphia, you know, I mean, there's like signs and telltale signs of body dysmorphia. I say no, but I say it in a way where it's professional, like, hey, I'm probably not the injector for you. You know, I just don't think that, you know, we're on the right plan together. So maybe you could look somewhere else, kind of thing. But I have, you know, had times where people are just, they have that body dysmorphia, and that's another whole thing too, where as aesthetic injectors and ones listening know, it's like you can tell. You can
What are
tell
some of
when
those
it's
signs, like those quick ones that you kind of know pop out at you commonly?
like, let's say we start the consultation and then they have the mirror and they're just like as you're talking to them, they're not really listening to what you're saying. They're just like holding the mirror and they're just like psychoanalyzing every little surface area of their face, and it's like, oh, you're not even like listening to what I'm saying because like now there's a mirror in front of your face and now you're looking at all your imperfections, you know. You can already see that's kind of like, I'm like, okay, like that's kind of a sign. Or if you know, you tell them like, hey, like your the filler that you have is like migrated and it's like not in the right place, you can. And they don't want to dissolve it. Like they're not willing to look at it as like, hey, like let's start and refresh and kind of, they just want to keep adding and adding and adding. That's where I'm like, okay, like there might be an issue here. But it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen too often, but I mean, I'm more than willing to say no. I don't want to put my name on that.
Yeah, I
And
got you.
then I don't want to add to whatever's going on there. You know, that's something on a deeper level.
You know, something that I was thinking about when you talk about the mirrors, recently I've gotten back into like a physical gym because I'm always a big outside guy. And like I said, we spend so much time working inside most of the time. That's like, that's my time to guarantee like an hour of outside time every day, right? To just take things in. It's just gotten so hot in the schedule and stuff. You know, I'm like, let's go inside with the AC. We're not winning any awards here for this. And because I've been gone for, honestly, it's been like a couple of years since I've really consistently been in a gym. I work out every day, but like in a gym and noticing, I even caught myself like a day or two just looking in the mirror like way more than I ever would, let's say in the past. Or I work out outside. I don't even have a mirror. So it's like what I'm so used to it. Or maybe if I'm walking by a car, maybe I'll see it. Like that's the only time if I'm working outside that I would look at myself. And then I snapped out of it real quick. And then I started looking around to my left and to my right. And I was like, holy shit, everybody's looking in a fucking mirror. Like everybody is working at people that don't even the machine isn't even facing the mirror. They're like, I gotta be in the mirror and doing it. So it's just kind of funny how conscious I guess people are with what they're doing, because I realize not being in a gym, I go off of how things feel. Like that's where the mindset is like, oh, I have to look in the mirror because I have to watch my set, right? Make sure things are doing right. And honestly, you can feel it. Like if you have enough experience, you've been doing it, you feel it. So it's kind of just funny to, I guess, see, notice it. And yeah, the mirrors are such a thing. I feel like they should cut the mirrors in half. I don't know why they're there though, but I guess that's what it's for. 'Cause you don't need to look at yourself the whole time. You can walk by and be like, oh yeah, I'm jacked, right? And then a month later, be like, all right, cool, we're good. But I want to know kind of with your industry, how do you even measure if enough is enough? Not like when things are getting crazy, but how do you physically take like an injection or something like that and know that like this putting this in is going to get this outcome? Like it's not like if I'm at a vending machine and I put $5 in, I know I'm going to get one, two candy bars or something like that. Like what is the ratio for your work?
So it's really interesting. I'm more like, hey, we can add. We can always add. We don't, and like as far as taking away, we can always dissolve, but I'd rather take our time with it. Like I don't like to say, okay, we need like 20 syringes. And it's like, no. And one syringe is equivalent to a blueberry. So think of it that way. So
Okay.
one syringe is a blueberry. And it's like, let's say I'm doing a cheek, right? So ideally, I would want like two blueberries for a cheek, but I'm strategically placing it where I know where you're losing that volume and you need that structure. But like I said, like if we need one more in the future, I just kind of say, hey, we need two to three. So two to start and then maybe add another one later and kind of see where that takes us. I'm less is more approach always. Just because it's also good for your body to not take so much too, because it is kind of a foreign substance, even though it is hyaluronic acid most of the time. We just, and there's swelling involved. There's a lot of like little factors that, as an injector, I need to understand, and I need to know. So I just take my time with it. You know,
I like
especially there's
that.
certain areas where I'm like the chin, ideally, I would want two syringes. Let's just, start with one, kind of see where that takes us, and then two for like the sides and stuff like that, the side, the pre-jowls and stuff like that. But yeah, like nice and slow with me. Like I, there's some, that's what I'm saying. I feel like with some places they're like, well, if it was up to me, you'd do 20 here, like six here, we need right here, and it's like it gets overwhelming. It's a lot. It's a
They're
lot of
doing
stuff.
strawberries instead of blueberries, huh? Some of those
Right, and
places,
peaches over
but
here. I don't know. It gets crazy.
yeah, I like that. That makes sense. And I feel like that just makes the listener and myself like feel a lot more comfortable knowing that it's not like, oh my gosh, it's such a big jump, right? It's common sense, but for some reason, it just things can get a little blurry, right? I want to
Exactly.
know
And
what are,
oh, sorry.
yeah, go ahead.
Oh,
No,
sorry.
go ahead.
And I always tell my Pete, like, even if you don't come to see me, like, ideally, yes, I would love to see, your listeners. But like, let's say you go to like a med spa and you feel uncomfortable, just you don't have to say yes. Like, if you feel like they're just kind of pushing a lot of the products on you, they're just kind of like not necessarily throwing snake oil, but they're like over promising too much and not really taking in consideration what you're saying and what you want. Go find another injector. Go find somebody that makes you feel comfortable, because like you said earlier in the podcast, where you choose me, right? You choose my med spa, you choose me based off my Instagram, based off my before and afters. Like there's a reason why you came to see me. So definitely do your research always and see if you like the vibe. Like a lot of times there's Not everybody gets along with everybody, and if you feel really comfortable with that injector where they're listening to you, where they're really just like taking in consideration, I mean, look at it that way.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And it makes sense too to advocate for yourself, right? Oftentimes you can
Yes.
feel so, I think maybe regret leads a lot of that sometimes, right? Maybe with the work you do, but I know like in my stuff, it's just like some people are like, oh, I don't want to miss out on this opportunity. I'm already here, right? We might as well just do it because I don't want to leave and then make a mistake. And then that leads you to actually making a real mistake. And yeah, it's just take your time, right? Like there's no rush. Very few things need to be rushed, right? So it's just having patience. That's awesome to hear. And kind of what I want to know, speaking of like patience or what it is, what are some of the top things that are like permanent versus what are some of the top things you do maybe that are more temporary, right? Like what are some things that last a few months versus some things that might last like an extended period of time?
Okay, so let's just say like simple, just like lip fill, just depending on what filler I use, that could vary. So for example, let's say like a simple like lip filler, you're looking like 9 to 12 months. The reason why I say 9 to 12 months is because if you're super huge into bodybuilding, taking supplements, you actually kind of metabolize it quicker than a person that doesn't really like bodybuild. Or
Oh, wow.
yeah, and if you have like immunosuppression, like arthritis, lupus, sometimes you can metabolize it also a little quicker too. So it kind of depends. Then there's different types of other fillers. Like there's something called Radius, which is calcium hydroxyapatite. So that one mimics bone. That one's good for 2 years. And it's actually really nice because that one builds like collagen as you're using the filler. So like it still remains in the sense of like it's a building that collagen, which is really nice. Then there's like a whole nother area where it's not even fillers anymore. It's like biostimulants. So that's like more like Sculptra, also Radius sometimes, when it's done correctly. Sculptra is really nice because it lasts for 2 years, but it's building your own collagen, but it's not a filler. It's crazy. It's new and upcoming, and it's good for people who are scared of filler. This is honestly just this polylactic acid that I mix up for you, and I put it on your face, and then at 2 to 3 months, you're building your own collagen, and it's rebuilding that, just the glow, that shape, that structure that you've lost as you age. So it depends. It totally depends. And there's also permanent fillers out there. Some of them are called like Belafil, and I don't use that. I don't use permanent fillers. I think it causes a lot of complications later on. Trends change, right? So right now it's really trendy. Now it's going back to a little bit more natural, which is why these biostimulants are kind of coming back up rather than fillers, I've noticed. We're doing more like building collagen, biostimulating structures now. But I will say having a permanent filler, I don't necessarily like, just because, like I said, trends change,
Makes
things
sense,
change.
yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think you talked about like complications too. Obviously people, everybody's body's a little bit different, right? So is there ways that like, what should people look out for, I guess? What are maybe some of the risks? Are there any risks to kind of doing something like that?
Well, since we are adding a substance to your body, there's always a risk, right? There's risk of having allergic reaction. There's risk of a vascular occlusion. Vascular occlusion is when inadvertently you add filler to an artery and it kind of just like stops blood flow in that area. It's
Oh
very,
man.
very rare. There's like a 1 to 2.5% chance of that happening. I am trained in case something does happen like that. It involves us acting quickly. So any patient that I see, I always tell them like, hey, if you feel these symptoms, you need to call me immediately. I don't care if it's day, night, weekend, I don't care. I need to see you, because what's happening with the vascular occlusion is that we're stopping that blood flow, meaning that you could have, I mean, you're going to lose that tissue, and we don't want that. So thankfully it hasn't happened to me yet.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened to me yet, but I am trained to take care of that. And like I said, time is of the essence when it comes to vascular occlusion, for sure. But
Yeah.
it's very
Well,
rare.
It's awesome how knowledgeable you are. This has been so interesting. Like, I love it when people kind of nerd out about their thing. Like, if it's a pilot and they're like, oh, this button does this and then this and then this, and that's how you do it. And I'm like, yeah, I have no idea to land the plane, but I'm happy you do, right? And I guess my kind of last question, and then we can move on to a few other topics, is will the lips go back to their natural state? You know, like if you get, let's say, a filler, do they mainly after a year or two or something like that, is it noticeable or is it pretty much unnoticeable?
So lips are actually, I think it's really funny. Injectors like to start on lips when they first start, but I think lips, the more and more I do them, are very complex. They look easy, but they're the most hardest things. And
Oh, how so?
the reason why is because everyone has a very unique lip shape. And people that come in with difficult lips, like such as like M shapes, when it's like slightly inverted, that's gonna be like you're like gonna, it's more technique there. When somebody has fuller lips, it's a little easier, and it's like, and also it's not just how, how they look, but also what do they want? Do they want like more of a rolled out bottom lip? Do they want more shape on the top lip? Do they just want hydration? Do they want natural? Do they want like, Kylie Jenner? Like it just kind of depends. Like you have to kind of be able to explain to them what to expect, like if they do want super voluminous lips and they have literally no lips, it's like, hey, just so you know, it's going to be a process for us to get to that point because you don't have enough tissue and we need to expand that tissue to even get you to a point where you have like lips, but I will say, as far as lips at the year mark, I could already tell like that they were going to need it. You could just notice it. The definition isn't there anymore. It's definitely back to their regular shape or semi. It'll never be exactly the same because, like I said, we did expand that tissue on that lip, so it'll look like their lip, but like a little bit, just a little bit bigger. But usually, I do see my patients for like a refill for like just the definition of the volume.
Okay, and then if they don't come in for a refill, like let's say they necessarily didn't have a problem with their lips, like they just wanted to get them bigger, right? And then a year comes in, and then will it just dissolve on itself and go back to how it was, pre kind of seeing you?
So that's kind of a hard question. There's times where it will look like back to normal, and there's times where, not specifically with me, but in general, I've seen patients where I have to dissolve them because they've had lip filler like a year or two ago, but then they might have like a little bit of product like under their lip, for example, and that's called migration. When that happens, there's a lot of factors that go into it too. It could be due to product, it could be due to the injector's placement, it could be due to just like sometimes genetics too. Like sometimes your body just kind of like hides it in there. So there's a lot of factors that come into it. So it just kind of, like I said, it just kind of depends.
So
It's
you
a
can dissolve
situation
it. Can
basis.
you dissolve it earlier? Like if you get it 6 months in, there's a way to
Oh
dissolve it?
yeah.
Oh,
Oh
that's
yeah,
awesome.
absolutely. Yeah, so we use something called Hyalonex. It's hyaluronidase, which is the antidote to hyaluronic acid. So we can always dissolve it for sure. Like if you, let's say at 6 months, you're like, I just don't really like care for it. Okay, we'll dissolve it and call it a day. Or if there's like product, even there, I see some girls where they've had lip filler for like a couple years and then they have like product placed and they don't realize it until like I lift up their lips and they're like, oh, what is that? And I'm like, that's product. I'm like, we should probably dissolve that before I continue adding more filler because it's going to continuously like push against your like tissue and it's not going to look great. Your smile is going to be off. Like it's just going to look a little funky. And most of my patients trust me, all of my patients trust me. They're like, okay, let's just dissolve. And it always looks better. Always when I say, hey, like let's dissolve. We can start from the beginning, start from scratch, and it always looks so beautiful. So.
Oh, I'd love to hear about that. It's been so informal. I've learned more today than I thought I was going
Things that you didn't want to
to
know, but you learned today.
learn. No, I want to know. It's interesting. And 'cause like people have always kind of asked me for my opinion or not asked me, but I've given it, let's say, even if they haven't asked, unlike what you do, right? And I just haven't been knowledgeable enough to even have an opinion of just like, oh, I didn't even know. Okay, you get your lips done. Yeah, it's not, it's actually the majority that it will go down and you actually will have to go redo it and this and that. And that's just stuff that, 'cause all you see is horror stories from my perspective, right? Of just like, oh,
Yeah.
you do it, and then all of a sudden, boom, boom, and you're like, womp, womp, womp. And it's just one of those
Yeah.
things that it's awesome to hear. I want to hear a little bit more about kind of your family. How many little ones do you have?
Just one. I have a little 2-year-old son, and then I also have an English bulldog. He's turning 4 in November. So yeah. And
English
then my husband, of
bulldogs
course,
are,
English
yeah,
boy. Yeah.
you're a specific dog person right there. That is,
Yeah.
it's a lot, right?
Yeah, so that's the thing. So I always wanted an English bulldog because growing up, I would go to Los Angeles a lot with my family, and we would go to Santa Monica, right? And in Santa Monica, you kind of just walk around, you like see the shops, and there's a skate park. And in the skate park, there was this guy with an English bulldog, and this English bulldog was shredding
Yeah.
down the skate park. And I was like, is that a dog on a skateboard? And he's just like chilling and riding and like riding so fast. And he would fall off the skateboard and get back on. Like he was just like his body was just meant for that skateboard.
Yeah.
And then that's why I fell in love with English bulldogs. Like they're so adorable. They're so cute. They're so
I
lazy, but then they're also really tough too.
Yeah, it's a fun breed. I could not. I'm the total opposite of that. I need like the big, fast, light, lean type of thing. I couldn't have a big old man just laying on, hanging around, and
No,
just so loud and
he's such a
you.
baby. He's definitely not old. I mean, yeah, he gives like old man energy, but also he gives baby energy too.
Okay,
He's
I'll take
baby
your
girl
word
energy.
for
Because
it.
sometimes he just wants to cuddle, or he just like wants a little snack. Like he's very, very sweet. And he's amazing with my son. They're best friends. Like
Yeah.
for him to being such like a bulldog, like tough, like he gets pulled, on by his ears by my son. My son goes on top of him and gives him hugs, and he's just like happy.
That's the best. Yeah,
Yeah, for
that's the
sure.
best. 'Cause he knows too. He knows the deal. He's like, all
Yeah,
right, this is my buddy right here.
it's
How
his
did you
friend.
meet your husband?
Funny enough, IRL, not on any apps or anything.
Nice.
It was through a friend. He was helping my friend move, so we kind of just. Well, he didn't really talk to me at first. He's very shy. And they kept inviting, because I was kind of like, I'm very introverted, but they would keep inviting me, to their apartment upstairs and like, hey, let's hang out. And my future husband was always there. He wouldn't really talk to me. And I was like, well, I don't think he likes me, whatever. And then we just went out of the blue, started texting me, which was interesting because that's the way I saw him like really have his personality, like sending me like emojis, and
Oh,
like
his text game was crazy. Yeah, his
yeah. And
game
I
was
was like, whoa,
crazy.
he's like making me fall in love, but yeah. And then we just kind of had breakfast, and it went from there, and it was really nice. So yeah,
Oh,
we
that's
it's a
awesome.
different story. Yeah, I hear a lot of people like, oh, I met an app. I'm like, oh no, I actually met like old school,
Yeah. How
Yeah.
long have you guys been together for?
We are going to be together for I think it's 5 years. I always forget. I know I'm terrible. I'm so bad at like timelines.
Ballpark. It's all
Well, yeah.
good.
So 5
Nice.
years, married for 2, gonna be 3 soon. So yeah,
Nice.
we went. It was pretty fast, but I made a right choice. So for
Yeah, when you know, you
sure.
know. That's
Yeah,
so
for
good to
sure.
hear. And I think one of the things before I start to land the plane here on us, I'll let you go, but we love talking about love here, right? And just support and how important it is, especially with having more, ladies on and just people who are building businesses and working hard. One of the main things that we always hear is how their other half was maybe the person to push them to do it, right? Or, really encourage them and make sure that it's like, hey, now's not a better time than ever, right? Like, you might as well just make it happen. And if it doesn't work, it's okay. Like, there's no craziness behind it. So it's like, how do you feel supported by your husband? And is he a big support system of yours?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I don't think I would have been able to do this without like my husband in any form of capacity. Like I said, my mom doesn't live here in Las Vegas. She lives in California. So when even in nursing school, like I had to study, I'm like, can you take care of my newborn son? And that's crazy. Like, he's an amazing father, amazing provider. He has even helped me like now, like where sometimes I'm like, hey, I have this really important training. Can you take care of my son? Like, well, our son, can you help out? Like, and he does that for me because he knows that. what I do in my career is like my passion, and he sees that, and that's really nice that I'm so supported by him, as well as his parents as well. They're super supportive. I wouldn't, I never saw myself as a stay-at-home mom just because I love what I do so much. But the fact that my son's always with family, like either my husband or like my mother-in-law and father-in-law, it's really nice having that support, because I am able to do what I truly love, and then my son sees what I'm doing and I'm happy doing it. I did stay at the hospital for a little bit, and I just could not do it. It was like night, like respect for the nurses out there, like I don't know how they do it. With a child, like it's a lot. And even then, he was still supporting me with that as well. So 100% my supporter.
I saw a meme recently where I know a couple of nurses, right? Like my buddies and stuff like that, where they're like, people always ask how we're doing, right? And especially with kids, we're dying. That's how
You're
we're
dying.
doing.
It's hard. It's
Dying.
hard.
Yeah, it was kind of
Yeah,
funny. I thought that
it's
was
hard.
hilarious. One of
Yeah,
the
but
kind
no, he's the best for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. One of the last things I want to ask kind of about him and related to him is, obviously, you can look on social media or the internet or things like that, and you can see like how, I don't know about toxic, but just some of the unrealistic expectations, right? That maybe people who are still looking for love can have or just try to not let penetrate their psyche of like, oh, you got to make all this money, right? Or you got to buy her all these things, or, ladies have to, you have to look a certain way, you have to do this, right? And something that I like to try to push, and it's the newer thing that I'm asking on this show now, is what are some of the small things that don't cost a lot of money, right? That your husband does for you, and what are some of the small things that don't cost a lot of money that you do for your husband that you guys, stay consistent with, and you just think that it's maybe a little unique to you guys, or it's a strong thing that you think maybe other people could try?
For me, just the fact that he gives me time, because I feel like you can give me all the money in the world, but if I don't have time, that's going to be a problem. But he, like, for example, like he's watching my son right now, right? Like, awesome. So I have time to do this, so just giving time, just like, hey, like here's like a good solid 2 hours where everything is safe, everything is good. That to me is everything. I guess my love language is quality, like time. I guess. And then once my son's in bed, we like to do like charcuterie night, like random, like watch a movie or something. But I feel like right now the movies are not that great. We haven't really found something that we're like really in love with. We rewatched, well, my husband rewatched The Sopranos, and I jumped in like the second season. I was like, this show is amazing, and that
It's
was really
fire,
fun to
huh?
watch. I thought it was gonna be dramatic, right? So I was like, okay, like it's gonna be just murders and like mobsters. It's actually hilarious, but also very dramatic too. So it's like an amazing combination.
Because here's the thing is I saw it on and like it's been blowing up. It's had like a rebirth. I was just like, it's so old that I don't know. Like, sometimes you watch old shows and you're just like, dang, you had to be there, I guess. But apparently it's fire. I'm gonna have to
Not
check it
that
out.
one. Not that one. That one's so good. Like I was like, crap, oh my God, I kind of want to watch the first season again, but I just got over watching it. So I'm like, maybe I'll give it a year and I'll rewatch it again because it's super solid. But yeah, so we do like a charcuterie night. Like I do like a whole little spread. I love a spread, right? And we just kind of like, talk smack about what we're watching or whatever, and kind of like we do like little reviews. We're like, oh, what do you think about this person? This person's so crazy, like that kind of stuff. Like we like
That's
that.
awesome. Yeah, I like that. And just having more stuff like that, because oftentimes, with social media and everything, you can get stuck comparing your behind the scenes to somebody's highlight tape, right? And it's like you stuff like that when people are actually in the thick of it, in the process of young kids, young family, doing the real stuff, the real work, like hearing the parts that are really good, that aren't some crazy fireworks show, and I had to hire some jet guy to come fly over and just, the extra stuff. So that's awesome to hear. And what is your last thing? What does your husband do for work?
He works for the city of North Las Vegas. He does code enforcement. So he's an officer. So he goes ahead and, make sure that like the city of North Las Vegas is clean, that there's no, houses that aren't really necessarily like occupied. He makes sure that everything's like there's no like unhoused people
He's
in
snitching
there.
on
Like, what's going
everybody.
on?
Is that what he's
He's a big
doing?
snitch and he's a very good. No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah, I mean he's an officer, so I can't. I
That's
mean that.
awesome.
I mean you gotta do it, you know. But
Yeah.
he, yeah, he's really busy. Vegas is like how you said, like Vegas is booming, and it's like, you know, you have to
Yeah.
make sure it looks clean because you don't want it to
And
look.
it's built right too, because when it's not, stuff isn't organized and proper, geez, you really it depletes on the back end, right? Like that, then it starts looking like parts of California, you know? But
Oh, yeah.
honestly, I have two, you know, main questions, and I'll let you go out of here. And like I said, we're in no hurry or anything like that. Take your time. And the first one, I just like to open it up. You don't have to have an answer to, but I just like to kind of see where it takes us. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about or highlight that I didn't get a chance to kind of ask about that you wanted to share? You know, it doesn't have to be specific to your job or anything, just anything that you have been thinking about that we didn't get to.
Yeah, I was thinking about it right now as we were talking. The whole social media thing. When it comes to my job, I think that's a big factor that plays a role in it. There's girls that come with inspo pics, like I want to look like her, and it's like I don't want people, not just women, men too, you know, to think that they have to look a certain way. Like when I go ahead and do a consultation, it's based off your features. Like I don't want to make you into a different person. Like I'm just enhancing what you already have, you know? And I want everybody to know that their individuality is like their beauty. And that, and like I said, I'm not here to change you. And a lot of times, I just see people with like kind of unreal, like it just doesn't fit their shape, like their face shape. It just doesn't work with their ethnicity. It just doesn't really work, and it just would not look right. And I feel like people should be mindful that a lot of these pictures are filtered, they're face tuned, and just to not let that get to people's head sometimes that they're not looking perfect, like. A lot of these people that you see on Instagram, they're poreless. We have pores. We're human. Even like the best, like the top celebrity, the most gorgeous woman, man, like they have pores. Like they're human beings, and they also have insecurities too. I see plenty of beautiful women that I'm like, you are literally perfect, and they're like, this is what's bothering me. Like everyone has little insecurities. Everyone has little. No one is perfect, and I think that's important to know because I feel like social media kind of like shows off that everything's perfect and their life is perfect and they feel perfect, they look perfect. Nothing's perfect, so.
I think something that you really brought up too was before we talk about perfect is that pick, that inspo pick. One of the things where I never understood like some of those horror stories where it is just a crazy BBL, right? It is just a diaper on there. Like I think that wagon back there is just what is going on, right? And I remember asking like some of my like female friends of just like what's going on? What is the deal with that? Like what's I get body dysmorphia, but like what? That's crazy. And they go, oh no, they just want it to look good in the pic. So there's an angle of that thing that will work, right? Where it's like they got the picture and it looks how they want it to look, or in theory, right? And once I saw that, because I'm such a guy where, you know, I'm probably like your husband. Like I don't take very many pictures. Like I'm not, or if a picture is taken, I'm definitely not like, let me see it and let me critique it. I'm just like, yeah, if it works, if you're cool with it, I'm cool with it. That's awesome. But yeah, just that stuff, the perfect. And then the point I wanted to make, just coming from my voice, was like the imperfections are where the beauty is. I think that's the biggest part of like, if everybody looked the same, nobody would care. Like, it would be boring, right? So it is, oh, I'm too short, or oh, I'm too tall, right? That is where it's like, oh, yeah, I like tall. I like short. I like this. Or oh, I'm not round enough, or I'm too round, or whatever the texture is. It's like my teeth, this one's a little crooked. And it's like, no, I like the cute thing. Some of my favorite time, honestly, this is where I see the prettiest girls. And I'll go ahead and confess to it. It's when they're sweaty walking out of the gym. That's where I actually am like, oh yeah, look, your bun is a little messed up. You got the armpit sweat growing and this and that. And it's like, that's a real person that I'm looking at, right? Not like the girl walking on the strip who's, you know, got everything done up. And that's not, some people might like that, right? But for me, it's like, I want to see you in the grocery store doing your thing and just like, fuck, I got to get a lasagna or whatever. I got to get this stuff made up. And the kind of last thing too was just, we didn't even really talk about men a lot. And I think I want to have you come back and maybe we can do another discussion on that. But do you have many guy clients?
I've had guy clients before. I've actually worked with a plastic surgeon that does male clients specifically, and that's a whole nother thing within itself, which I'm glad that you brought this up. So with men, it's the same anatomy essentially, but it's not, because
Oh.
men want to look more masculine. Women don't want to look masculine. That's what we're tr you're trying to feminize females, but masculinize masculine men. So that's like heavy on the jawline. It's a different way to do it. Like chins, like stuff like that. I see more gay men. For, like the typical like
'Cause they take care of
neurotoxin.
themselves. That's what it
I
is,
mean,
huh?
I hate to
Yeah.
say it, but
I
and
get
they look
it.
great. They
Yeah.
usually like come for like their wrinkles, or might want like a little bit of a lip hydration, but nothing like, I mean, I've done men before, but I feel now, and this is where I will come in and say this, is that more men are more open to it, because I feel that it's not becoming such a, what's the word I'm looking for? Such a stigma, right? For men to want to take care of themselves. There's really good results on men getting a nice little chin. Like all of a sudden you're like looking like Ryan Gosling. You're like, okay, well, there you go. Get more ladies, it's just like little things like that. And there's like, oh, it's like fillers are just for women. It's like, well, no, it's for anybody who wants to enhance their look and just kind of,
Look at that. Look at that. I'm
yeah.
bringing half the
There
gender out there just
you
ready to
go.
go now. But my thing, the reason why I said that honestly is because I've felt this in the past, or I've even struggled with stuff like this of most men that we have to struggle in silence a little bit, right? Where it could be something beauty, well, it, most things, right? Where it could be a beauty thing, but it could just be talking, right? I talked about this earlier today on another episode, what it was basically like. It's weird if A, forget it, I don't have six or seven boyfriends, right? Like that's just not a thing, first of all. And even if it was, the idea of me calling one of these guys over and being like, hey, come sit on my couch, look me in my eyes, and I want to talk about kind of our feelings or what's going on for how long have we been going? For 45 minutes, 50 minutes. How many of those guys do you think are going to show up, right? And that's why I kind of had to start this show, is because for some reason, when I put a microphone up or get a camera going or some headphones, all of a sudden it becomes a thing and we're doing the same crap that we were already doing. So I don't know why all of a sudden one's okay and one's not okay. But yeah, that was just an awesome thing to actually bring up and just kind of touch on that a little bit.
For
So,
sure.
but
And even my husband too, like even recently, when I first started, he didn't understand what I did. I mean, essentially, I kind of don't understand what he does either, but like, he's like, so you put stuff in people's faces? I'm like, yeah. And then as I'm doing it, like just recently, he was like, what do you think I need? And I'm like, are you, I'm like, oh, this is cool. Like, we're opening the door to even him thinking about it, because now he's looking at it like, okay, like I can see differences in your patients. Like, what do I need? And I think it's important for men to be like open to possibilities. And like I said, it's going back to having an injector who is just, takes their time with you, can explain things to you. And if you come back in a year or 6 months and you want to do it, then we can do it. But I mean, I'm glad you brought that up. That's really cool.
And I bet it'd be so funny too, because I think the difference with guys would be since it's so early in, like let's say your husband made it happen, right? And then he gets a recommendation, right? And now that guy, and it's like, I know guys will be like, when you have that hot spot, like, hey, I got this thing that nobody else is doing, man. Like, you don't know about it. It's like when you hear about a good Hawaiian restaurant, right? And you're like, get the number three with extra sauce.
And
And
they go the
I'm going and I'm not even looking at the menu. Number three, extra sauce. Let's get it out, right?
next
So
day.
it's awesome to hear. The last thing that I wanted to get your take on is, as you've kind of been a part of Natural Thoughts and Talks, you see what we're building and you kind of feel like this is kind of what we're growing. And we're honestly so passionate about just getting as many stories out there like yours. Are there maybe two to three people that come to mind that you know that you might want to shout out right now that you'd like to see me reach out to and possibly see if they'd be interested in sharing their story? They could be in a similar industry. They could be, another strong female voice. Just anybody with a super great spirit. Those are the types of people that I want to have on our show and I want to try to get a hold of. Does anyone come to mind?
Let me think. I do have a couple people in mind. Let me think. You like women, right? Specifically.
Anybody,
Anybody?
hey, anybody that speaks English, that's about it, because that's all I speak.
Could I get back to you on that? I think there's
Yeah.
actually somebody that I was talking to that I mentioned I was doing the podcast, and they were like interested in it. So let me just go ahead and I can like text you for that.
Definitely. Yeah. And like I said, watch, you're going to be cooking, you're going to be driving, and people are just going to start popping into your head. Those are the people that I'm going to want to get a hold of. So no
For sure.
pressure, no rush, but definitely we want to give those people the highlights that they deserve. And yeah, we're always looking for, honestly, people who I'm have struggled to get a hold of are like first responders. They are actual like nurses that are working in the hospital, because you can't call a hospital and be like, hey, let me talk to Jackie. Like, what's she doing right now? It's just, though there's a barrier up, right? So just those people that are always behind the scenes actually making things work, those are just the greatest people to talk to. So like I
For sure.
said, we appreciate you coming on. This has been another episode of Natural Thoughts and Talks. Thank you to the listener, and we will catch you later.
Thank you.